Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fly ball left center by Braun. Has he done it again? You bet.
That highlight courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. Ryan Braun and the Brewers sitting right now in the thick of a playoff race. You can have your chance to hear from David Stearns, president of baseball operations and general manager, coming up at 4:30 today. 4:30. It's your chance to hear from him. If you missed that interview yesterday, be sure to check that out. Gary Ellerson, former Packer and Badger running back. Leroy Butler, inventor of the Lambeau Leap. And inventor of the Leapfrog, coming to a store and restaurant near you as well. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here. Mike Freeman there on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Author of the newest book, Football's Fearless Activists, how Colin Kaepernick, Eric Reid, Kenny Stills, fellow athletes stood up to the NFL and President Trump. And we'll get into a little bit more about his book that you'll be able to purchase. But first, Mike, I guess my first question is your thoughts on this Packers offense that all of a sudden is like the offense in the NFL after they've put up over 40 points each of the first 2 weeks.
Well, first of all, I got to say, Leroy Butler should be in the Hall of Fame. Can I say that first?
Sure you can.
Of course, Mike.
Yes.
It's the stupidest-ish I've ever heard that he's not in. I covered you for a lot of your career. You were one of the most versatile players I ever covered. Your receivers were – they feared you. Teams game planned against you. You were ask any coach or player who played against you. They didn't like doing it. You were hard to play against. They were terrified of you. A lot of these guys. And you were a smart player. It's just stupid. So I just gotta get that off my chest. I'm done. All right. So moving on.
I appreciate that, my brother. I appreciate it.
I'm not necessarily surprised that much by what the Packers are doing because I never thought Aaron Rodgers was done. I thought Aaron Rodgers was going to be – we were going to see the Aaron Rodgers we've seen before, and I thought this defense was pretty good, and they have some good players around them. I still think it was a mistake they didn't take a wide receiver. I know I'm going to get all kinds of tweets about that. But you see what happens when you sort of turn Aaron Rodgers loose. You bring in a really terrific, versatile running back. And things start to finally sort of come together. I'm not surprised by this. Because I just thought Aaron Rodgers would be Aaron Rodgers again, and you're starting to see some of that, and everything's starting to fall in place around him. And they're just good. I mean, they run a really smart offense. They got some unbelievable skilled players. The line is playing well, and I think also their defense is playing a lot better. So none of this really surprises me, and I think it's not going to change. I think you're going to see the Packers be a huge force going forward. Nothing's going to change. They're going to be really formidable the whole way through. Obviously, I think I always thought they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they're going to make a deep run in the playoffs. So this is not shocking.
Yeah, I think the shocking thing was that we all were shocked they didn't choose a receiver, and then all of a sudden they're one of six teams to have over 1,000 yards after the first two games. That was truly amazing, Mike. But, Kenny Stills is pretty much is Gary's godson, and I just call him my nephew. And how many and I'm gonna just let's get right to it because this is an amazing book. I actually my assistant got it for me. I don't know where she got it from. I had to give her a 50-cent raise, but it's truly amazing because first thing I said, how many Trump supporters who were just jumping in your mentions and thinking this was a bad idea? Because I know you got to be going through it.
Well, I got to say, I know I'm preaching to the choir here with you and with Kenny. Kenny Stills is probably one of the just best people, human beings I've ever met or interviewed. I mean, he's just a tremendous person, just incredibly smart and dedicated. And he is like some of these other players. A lot of people know, obviously, Colin Kaepernick. They know Eric Reid, but there's a whole other group of guys, Kenny being one of them, who took these risks to protest at a time when it was very risky to do it and even in some cases dangerous to do it. And these guys took on, Kenny being one of them, who just became very just people of their convictions, people who just believe that what was happening in the country. Now we're all talking about it. Now the whole country knows about it. But for years, Colin Kaepernick, Kenny Stills, Eric Reid, some of these other guys were drawing attention to this way before it became a huge national issue. And in doing that, they took a lot of risk with their careers. They took on a president. I mean, for the first time probably in the history of the Republic, we had a president on almost a daily basis jumping in against players and rooting against players and saying calling players sons of bitches and things like that. I mean, we hadn't seen anything like this before in American history. So they were very, one of the main points of the book is guys like Kenny, Colin, Eric were brave and they took stances that were at the time immensely unpopular with a lot of people, popular with other segments of popular with people of color, popular with other people in the country, but there's a large swath of the country that stood against them, including the president of the United States. So they took huge risks, at huge personal risks. But in the end, and this is the main point of the book, as you look back, I mean, it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that they were right. But in the end, we know they were right. They took the right moral, strong stance. We see that now. But then they were right. All along, they have been right.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things, real quick, Gary, before I forget, you know, I ain't as smart as Gary with the Wisconsin mic, so he's a smart guy, so he won't forget his question. I went to Florida State. We had Nate Boyer on, the young man who told Kaepernick, and he's a Green Beret, and he told him, don't sit, kneel. Because that's, you know, when you get married, you're on your knee. When you pray, you're on your knee. Do it that way. And people still thought it was the military. And then they seemed to say, okay, well, fine. Okay, it's not the military. We just want people to put their hand over their heart or, what, you know, the national anthem. And then the politics got in it. And I think I was waiting for somebody, and I didn't know you were writing the book. I was waiting for somebody to look at it from their angle to tell their side, because it did get hijacked and it was like a us for, it's really not.
Right.
Have anything. We all love the police. We all love the military. But we just want what they were trying to put a light on the bad things that were happening, the social injustice. That's why the NBA took the stance. What did you think when you saw the NBA walk out that one game or that day? I mean, what did you think of that happening when it happened?
Well, you make a good point in that people sort of still forget or chose to forget that when Colin first started his protest, he took a seat on the bench and then he spoke to military people around him. And one of them was Nate Boyer, and Nate Boyer said, take a knee. So how was it anti-military if someone that was in the military or was at the time just told them that that's what they should do? It was never anti-police. It was never anti-military. It was never anti-flag. It was a way to draw attention to the problem, a problem that everyone across the country now talks about. So that's an important point you make. I thought what the NBA players did when they walked out was just a continuation of what these guys started. And there were people in sports who were talking about this before, but they didn't take the kind of stances in the NFL, at least, that these guys did. And what they did was, what Colin did was take the arrows, take the abuse, so people behind them would be more comfortable doing it. And that's what you've seen. You know, LeBron James, guys like that, have been talking about issue of police brutality for a while. But it wasn't a general thing discussed among a lot of athletes. A lot of athletes didn't take positions because they were afraid, and I get it. You look what happened to Colin. He still has not played since then. He is still essentially banned from the NFL. So I get it why a lot of guys didn't do what Kenny did, what these guys did, but they cleared the way for other athletes to sort of feel more comfortable doing it. And then when George Floyd was murdered, the floodgates opened, and it became, everyone sort of realized what these guys had been saying all along was true. And so it changed everything with his murder, and it transformed the entire movement. And now we are where we are right now.
You know, Mike, so Kenny's dad and I were roommates in college and in Green Bay. And so when it's all went down, I asked him, other than kneeling, what else is he going to do? I mean, there's got to be more to this than that. And he goes, Gary, you know what? Kenny's renting a van, or he's getting a truck or something. And he's going to travel around.
Yeah.
He's going to travel around. He's just going to go to different cities, go into different police stations. He's just going to get in cars, and he's going to get involved within different communities. And I don't think a lot of people knew that about him, other than taking the knee. What other things, or what other steps that Kenny or Colin, that these guys have actually done outside of that? And not much has been talked about that.
Yeah, and I get into that in the book with Kenny. And I know you know this, Gary, but just for listeners, you know, Kenny was in Miami, then went to the Texans. In Miami, he was heavily involved in the community. And then he went to Houston, heavily involved in the community. He's always been that guy. And then when I interviewed him, he talked about, he just basically went on a learning tour. He went to all these different areas of the country. He studied civil rights history. He went to where Martin Luther King was shot. He went to all these different places to learn about civil rights while also being heavily involved in the community, while also protesting. He was not just taking a knee. He was learning. He was growing. He was bringing other people into the movement, to where now he's really one of the leaders of it. One of the players just speaks so glowingly of him on both the Texans and across the league. He became a real, real leader in this movement and a real leader in the NFL. He's just a multi, I mean, I know you know this. He's right. Just a multi-dimensional, deep, smart, committed guy. And he's the kind of guy that movements are built around. And he's one of these guys that this entire movement has been built around. And he was one of the OGs. He was one of the first guys to really stand with Colin, saw it from the very beginning, and has been there ever since, taking all the arrows from fans who don't disagree, from presidents, from everybody, and still stood tall. I it sounds really odd to say, I'm just very proud to have known him, to learn about him, to learn about what happened with him. And he has been just an outstanding person, and still is, and has been, and always will be.
Last one for me, and I think it's important, none of these guys want violence. We don't want violence. We know it's the Breonna Taylor, the decision, the grand jury came down with their decision. So, I mean, guys are going to protest peacefully. No one wants anybody burning anything. We don't want anybody to be shot. We don't want no violence. I mean, on either side. That's unacceptable. It really is. Because it's a political season, and each side will try to use that to give votes. After yesterday was National Voters Registration Day, it's very important to vote. After you protest, when you get through protesting, go vote. My last thing, for what did you think when you saw the commissioner of the NFL come out and said he was wrong? He should have listened 4 years ago.
Right.
He said, you know, that to me was like earth-shattering because I don't think some of the owners felt the same way. But for him to come out and say that openly, and then they had the little settlement thing. I don't really care about the Jay-Z thing, what they're doing. I don't care about that because that I don't know what that is. I don't even know what that's about. It would have been great. I wasn't really looking for Colin Kaepernick to play for a team either because I knew it wasn't going to happen. But what did happen was the commissioner got up there and said that he was wrong. And I think that's the best part about your book is it sets up that. So I just appreciate you writing it and putting it in a form where these guys, they can say what they want, but you put it in print, Mike, like you did. It makes people read it. I think people will really enjoy this book.
Thank you. And I know we got to go, but the thing I wanted to do was just chronicle what they've done. Just put it as a version of history and make sure people understand the entire story of what these guys did. And you bring up a really good point about the commissioner, about Roger Goodell. I mean, I never thought I would ever see that. I mean, he has been pretty much, along with a lot of owners, pretty much opposed to what the players were doing. And I think it goes to just how shocking what happened to George Floyd was and how it galvanized almost every athlete across all of professional sports, including the NFL. And it made people, including Goodell, take, and I take him at his word. I think some of it was pretty sincere that you mm-hmm. look inward mm-hmm. and you decide, you know what, this, what we did was wrong, and you say it was wrong. And I think that's what he did, and I appreciate that he did that. But it took a lot of pain and sacrifice of these guys to get to that point, and also it took, unfortunately, the demise of people like George Floyd to get to this point. But we finally got there, and where we have these serious conversations, these serious moments, and actions. There's a lot of actions all across sports now, and you can trace a lot of it to these players who sacrificed a lot, who took a lot of risks to do this, and I think we should all be indebted to them.
They're going to do a documentary one day about a pandemic in 2020, but they're also going to do a documentary about your book. So I hope when you get that big money, come back and come on the show for us.
listen, they're going to do a documentary about when you get in the Hall of Fame, all right? So it'll all be in 1 year. When you get in, on this book and the pandemic, all right? All in the same year. Document all.
Sounds good.
That'd be awesome.
Sounds good,
Mike, brother. Thanks so much for coming
thanks,
on. How
Mike.
Can people find your book, Football's Fearless Activists, How Colin Kaepernick, Eric Reid, Kenny Stills, and fellow athletes stood up to the NFL and President Trump? Where can people find it?
They can go on Amazon and get it, and it's pretty much available everywhere. Thank
awesome.
You, guys.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Take care.
You can
there
follow
he is.
Him on Twitter, too, at Mike Freeman.
Mike Freeman joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. As our passion on growing your home, a Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan, and give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since
it's at Mike Freeman, 1935. NFL. It's at Mike Freeman NFL. You got to put the NFL.
Beautiful. Thanks, Leroy. Coming up next, we will hear from David Bakhtiari, Packers All-Pro left tackle. He joined
y'all
the Wendy's.
Y'all try to get that man in trouble, man.
Big show.
He's going to stop coming on with us.
We try to get him in trouble? We?
Yeah. No, you and Gary, man.
Gary
you
had nothing
Gary.
To do with it, first of all. It was you and me, and you started it. David
I'm telling
Bakhtiari.
Mitch, if y'all
yeah,
get
no.
up, I'll tell mm-hmm. him Mitch.
Nope. David Bakhtiari comes up next. If you miss it, you trust me, you're going to want to stay tuned. He talks about himself and Aaron Jones possibly coming back on new deals, but he also talks about that dirty hit as well over the weekend that happened in the Packer game,
yeah,
too.
He
gets into a lot of good stuff during this interview, so stay tuned for that. But first, Gary Ellerson's going to tell us about who you should go to if you want to do a renovation maybe in your home, maybe do some a renovated kitchen, right? Maybe you're going to do a wine room. I see on these HGTV shows, people put wine rooms into their houses now. It'd be nice to have enough money to afford to put a wine room into your house.
Well, yeah, you could do that.
But
that
you could
awesome.
Do it if you want to do it, sure.
Yeah, you could do a wine room, but I think what people are doing a lot right now, Steve, is because a lot of people are working out of their house. And here's what's happening right now in the construction community. When you're in your house, you want to redo your house. A lot of people right now are trying to build an office, right? So they can get away from the dogs. You don't hit
the dog bark, right? Yeah. Or the kids.
In the office. I hear the kids. And a lot of people right now building maybe like a little study area for the kids now, because they're doing all that virtual learning now. So now the kids have somewhere to go other than just in their bedroom where they got the PlayStation at. So now they're creating some space for kids. And with that being said, a lot of people now are trying to figure out how to make more room in their house. They got that basement down there. They want to create some more livable space within their house, because now you're home. Go finish your basement out. A lot of people are doing that now. And a lot of people are doing kitchen, remodeling their kitchen. Guys, you can do that and so much more at with my good friends at J&J Contractors. Just ask for Jason.
David Bakhtiari up next here on the Wendy's Big Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.